KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly clear sky. It's 24 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 55. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Two Creston women were arrested late last night for assault on an officer along with other charges. Authorities say 18-year-old Georgia McDown and 22-year-old Kylie Jo King were taken into custody at around 11:34 p.m. in the 100 block of Manor Drive. Police charged both women with interference with official acts, public intoxication, and disorderly conduct. They were being held for Union County in the Adams County Jail. McDown faces additional charges that include criminal mischief in the fifth degree and two counts of assault on an officer. Her bond was set at $3,200. King was additionally charged with assault on an officer. Her bond was set at $1,900. Separately, 23-year-old Keegan Williams of Creston was arrested Wednesday evening for trespass, possession of a controlled substance, third or subsequent offense, and public intoxication. His bond was set at $5,000, actually $5,600 in the Union County Jail. A prosecutor in central Iowa has cleared two officers involved in an October shootout in Stewart that injured two Guthrie County deputies and a suspect. Adair County Attorney Melissa Larson issued a four-page report Wednesday saying deputies Kent Grease and Stephen Harvey Henry, as well as Stewart Police Officer Tyler DeFrancisco, were justified in firing their weapons at 52-year-old Randall Comley during the October 17th incident. Comley is accused of firing a handgun at Grease and DeFrancisco as they tried to arrest him inside of a Stewart apartment complex. The uninjured officers returned fire, wounding Comley. Their shots also injured two other deputies posted outside of the apartment complex. In other Western Iowa news, a Sioux City native who went on to become the president of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers has died in Maryland. George Corpius, who died Monday at the age of 87, was president of the union for the 8 years from 1989 until retiring in 1997. He also served as vice president of the AFL-CIO Executive Council. George Lindblade of Sioux City met Corpius in the early 1950s.
My contact with him goes way back because, as a lot of people know, my mother worked at Wind Charger, and George Corpius in high school worked at Wind Charger also and came from the South Bottoms. He came from very limited resources. He took care of his mother, who was quite ill at the time, and he became kind of the adopted son of all women that worked out there.
Lindblade says that Corpius got involved in the union while working at the plant, and that later led to his union leadership. Lindblade got to know Corpius better when Lindblade worked on a documentary on the closing of the Zenith plant.
That's the first time I ever got acquainted with the man one-on-one, but he was a great gentleman and a great leader for the machinist union, and he was a real booster of Sioux City, Iowa.
There will be a funeral for Corpius on Saturday at St. Constantine and Helen Greek Orthodox Church in Silver Springs, Maryland. And the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says a tissue sample from a road-killed deer collected on the south side of Sioux City shows a high likelihood that the deer was infected with chronic wasting disease, or CWD. The DNR's Tyler Harms says that first test is enough for them to take additional action.
That test still needs to be confirmed by the National Veterinary Services Lab in Ames, but we move forward as if that deer has tested positive.
He said the DNR has established a priority zone for tissue collection in Woodbury County, extending 10 miles from around where the positive sample was collected, and is working to have a map available online.
We are increasing our CWD monitoring efforts in Woodbury County in response to this new positive, and so we are looking for assistance from hunters in Woodbury County in helping us out with that monitoring effort by providing tissue samples from any deer that they harvest in any of the deer seasons until the end of the season this year in early January.
The first shotgun deer season opens this Saturday. Harms says it's easy for hunters to provide a tissue sample.
They're encouraged to contact their local biologist in the area, and they can line up arrangements or make arrangements for getting those tissue samples from the hunters.
And he says Woodbury County is among the counties that had already been getting some extra attention with regard to CWD.
We've been doing increased surveillance along in counties along the Missouri River border because there have been animals that have tested positive in Nebraska, but we have not had any other animals test positive, at least wild animals test positive in any counties in western Iowa.
Woodbury County becomes the fifth of 99 counties in the state where a wild deer has tested positive for the always fatal disease. Most of the other counties are in eastern Iowa, and the common link between all of them is that they border states where deer have tested positive for CWD. Harm says it's possible the Woodbury County deer that tested positive may have taken a swim across the Missouri River from Nebraska.
It's really hard to know for sure. That's certainly a possibility. It's kind of a common misconception that deer can't cross these really large water bodies. They most certainly can. Deer can swim and are at times very good at it. And so that's certainly a possibility. However, there are lots of other ways in which this disease can be spread on the landscape.
The Iowa DNR said it has already confirmed positive CWD in samples from deer in Allamaquia and Wayne counties in the 2019 testing season. Chronic wasting disease. There are a few things that hunters can do to stop or slow the spread of the chronic wasting disease, including not leaving the deer carcass on the landscape and not using feed or salt mineral to attract deer. Sioux City banned feeding deer within the city limits in 2012. Many thousands of deer hunters will be combing Iowa's fields and forests this weekend as the first two shotgun seasons will open on Saturday, the first of two, that is. Tyler Harms, a wildlife biometrician with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, expects it to be a busy weekend, and he reminds hunters to wear their blaze orange, follow the regulations, and report their harvest.
We'll have about 40,000 or so hunters in the field during both seasons. These seasons are also when we see the highest amount of deer harvest in the state, so about 60,000 deer will be harvested here in the next few weeks in December.
Harms predict the deer harvested this month won't fluctuate too much from 2018's numbers.
We'll be at least steady or similar to last year, maybe a slight increase this year just because we are seeing a slight increasing trend in our deer population statewide, but we're still well within our population goals, so I would anticipate a very similar to maybe slightly higher harvest.
Mother Nature, he says, has a lot to do with those numbers, and Harms notes this weekend's forecast is for drier and warmer weather.
If you remember from last year, the first weekend of December, we had some pretty nasty weather statewide. It was really wet and snowy and cold, making hunting very challenging, and so we saw a pretty big decline in harvest during that season, but then the harvest rebounded in the second shotgun season when the weather cooperated a little bit more.
The first shotgun season runs from Saturday through December 11th, with a second season beginning December 14th and running through the 22nd. Well, the Iowa Supreme Court on Wednesday denied a request to delay the removal of bears, mountain lions, and hundreds of other animals from an eastern Iowa roadside zoo. The Dubuque Telegraph Herald reports the court denied the request from zoo owners Pam and Tom Selner to delay removal of animals while they appeal a judge's ruling last week that the zoo is a nuisance. The judge said the animals must be placed at an accredited sanctuaries and zoos. Attorney Jessica Blohm said the Supreme Court's decision effectively guarantees all the roughly 300 animals will be removed from the Cricket Hollow Animal Park near Manchester. And industry officials are praising Governor Reynolds for signing an executive order that all new diesel vehicles purchased for state fleets run on B20 fuel, which is 20% biodiesel and 80% petroleum diesel. Iowa Soybean Association President Tim Bardall of RIPI says three new state snowplows will run on the blend.
When different truck fleets and just the private consumer sees the snowplows when it's zero out running B20, and prove that, you know, it works and they can see it works, I'm hoping that definitely opens a lot larger market for the biodiesel industry in the state.
Bartle says Iowa's 11 biodiesel plants produced 365 million gallons of the fuel last year.
Iowa's by far the largest biodiesel producer in the nation, so it's very important to our rural economy to have a strong biodiesel industry.
The association said biodiesel supports about 4,700 jobs in Iowa. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.